How you doing? How's everybody doing out there? You guys good? You guys have a good Christmas holiday season. We're still in Hanukkah, deep in the thralls of Hanukkah. Wrapping it up, though. I hope everybody had a good little holiday weekend and week leading up to this New Year's weekend. All right, I'm Kevin Elliott. I'm in the studio with Stat Guy Joe. What's up, Joe?
What's up, everybody?
Not here today, unfortunately, is Chris Centeni. He came down with strep throat. And not only do we not want to get it from him, he can't talk. So I think, one, I guess in the podcasting game, it's pretty vital.
I don't know. He says a lot with just his face.
Yeah, he does. he's not with us. Not today. And we asked if we could call him, and he was like, literally can't talk. Like, I can text the entire episode. And I said, we'll transcribe it, everybody. So just below your phone or whatever you're listening on, read the scroll that goes across, and it'll be everything that Chris says.
Yeah, and it'll be hilarious.
Let's see. What else do we have, man? We want to talk about this past Wednesday. So actually, that's when Chris got sick. I think he got sick Tuesday, and he woke up on Wednesday, the day of the show, the comedy benefit for Nova, his dog. He had said, dude, I may have a serious problem because I can't talk. And I was like, that's more than a serious problem. Like, you should make sure that's not for life. You know what I mean? Like, you may not feel that well now, but I've been sick. I've still been able to say a word. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you've got, first of all, he'll tell the story. It's not funny, but his doctor sucks.
No, he did a doctor story the night of the benefit show.
Yes.
So it's hilarious. We talked with the doctor, was like, no, you're disgusting. Like, yeah,
oh, that was different. That was a different story.
But no, his doctor visits are always funny.
Yeah. So this one, they told him you don't have strep. Like, the test came back negative after 5 minutes. Like, they took the swab and then they did the test. 5 minutes, they came back and said, you don't have strep. You just, whatever. We don't know what's wrong with you. First of all, it's a minimum of 10 minutes that you're supposed to wait for that test. So they came back saying it was negative before it would read anything anyway. And as he's getting to his car, the technician ran out. And she's like, you're positive. You're positive. He's like, keep it down, dude. Can't just be yelling stuff like that in parking lots. So he has strep and can't talk. So he's sorry he can't be here with us. But he did perform at the show. He was able to talk for 20 minutes, which was good. That's all we needed. And first and foremost, we'll break it down a little bit. We want to thank everybody that was involved in it. Me, Joe, and Chris, from the bottom of our hearts, want to thank Jen and Adriana, who they were both so hilarious and did it for free, and we can't ask more than that. They put on a hell of a show. And then Yucca Tap Room and Ben that works over there, the general manager, all of those guys helped us out so much with seating, with everything, opening their place to us to be able to do this show, and gave us their sound guy. And no, he showed up 15 minutes after we were supposed to start the show. But we superseded any expectations for how many people would be there. I literally thought there'd be five people.
My benchmark was, please don't be embarrassed.
As
long as there's enough people here where I'm not embarrassed, then we're good. But there was a ton of people.
There was.
Thank you very much, Adriana. She brought a ton of people out. And then a ton of people there just off the word Jen Kober.
Because Adriana, she brought a lot of people. I wonder how many people that were there were not there for her.
I brought seven and was like, fuck yeah. Good job, dude. Way to drive out the public.
Chris had a lot. And I had a handful.
But no, the place
it didn't matter.
Honestly, I think if we would have had any more, there probably would have been...
it would have been uncomfortable.
We probably exceeded fire code.
Yeah.
We were probably right at that for legal purposes. We're probably right at the fire code. But if anybody else showed up, we would have had somebody else getting arrested in the parking lot.
Which is before the show started. People are coming in from the outside to the show, and they get greeted by two lunatic drunks. And it was like 6:45.
Yeah.
And they were so hammered, where the girl, it was a boyfriend and girlfriend, I think, and he was like 6'2", just a bigger guy, tattoos everywhere, and she was like 5 foot, little Hispanic girl that had the Hispanic attitude.
All mouth.
Yeah, just, bitch, bitch to the GM, yeah, like, you won't let us in. I'm like, there's a bar.
Look at your stupid hat, motherfucker. Your hat's so stupid. It's like, why are you making fun of his hat, dude?
Yeah.
He didn't say nothing to you.
Yeah. So they called the cops on these people, and then they're like, please don't call the police. And he's like, we already did. And so instead of them just leaving, knowing the cops were coming, they just stayed and argued.
Well, and then
the guy,
they finally went to their car, and it was like, we got to get out of here. The cops are coming. The cops are coming. And somebody was like, hey, what's up, man? And he just started throwing punches at him. It was like his buddy from work.
Yes.
But he saw the guy. He was like, I'm getting out of here. Fuck you. And just started swinging at him.
Yeah, for no reason.
And then there's just a guy in the parking lot. What's happening? Seriously, what's going on? What happened? What's happening? As he's getting swung on.
Yeah. And I haven't been in a fight, and I've always pictured what would happen. Like, in my dreams I'll have sometimes, people will want to fight me, and I'm pretty much running away the entire time. And that is exactly what that guy did to his friend. He just put one hand out, like he's the Heisman Trophy yeah, winner.
And kept backing
up. And then
up.
Backpedaling about 300 feet.
Yeah, just figure eighting through a parking lot. What is happening? Why? So someone tell me what's going on. Why is my best friend trying to kick my ass? And his best friend didn't even know.
No.
Or his work friend.
And then the cops showed up, finally. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't too long, but still. They showed up, and I guess immediately the boyfriend and girlfriend started running.
Well, so I watched a lot of this because I was fascinated. The boyfriend couldn't get his girlfriend back to the car. Then one of the girlfriend's friends that happened to show up with the boyfriend's friend, who was like standing at the security guy, like, what happened?
Yeah.
What's happening still? His girlfriend is with the other guy trying to push this drunk girl into the car. Like, you got to go. You got to go. They finally get her in. They back up right as two cop cars pull up on either side as they're backing up their car. They park the car and everybody runs in different directions. Wow. And then very quickly gets caught.
Yeah, I heard they were caught immediately.
Yeah,
because I missed that part.
They all ran in different directions right at cop cars. So it's like they just ran at police officers.
Oh, well, and that's Phoenix. Well, no, that's Tempe, Arizona for you.
That guy, the funniest part about that whole situation to me is the buddy who ended up getting swung on came in and paid the cover.
Oh, he did?
Watched the show. And I remember, like, right as Jen Kober was up, he was just crushing. Everybody was laughing their head off. He was over kind of on the other side of the bar. And he's just like, what happened? Like, he didn't even understand. He's like, I went from just going to play some pool to my buddy from work trying to beat me up. And now I'm watching this great show. Like, it was like this concerned what happened to, like, a glorious gleeful. What happened? Oh my gosh.
That's pretty cool that he came in and yeah, watched the show. Good for him, man. Thank you.
I think security might have let him through for free, honestly. Like, dude, you've had a rough night. Come on in.
Yeah. You need a laugh? You do. Come on.
You need this.
It was such an incredible show. So again, thank you to everybody that came out to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I think everybody did for the most part. You got what you wanted out of comedy. If you didn't like one style, there was another one there for you. And then Jen will just kill you no matter what style you like. She was incredible, and we couldn't thank you enough. I
really
know Chris,
though.
Chris and his fiance are overly thrilled, and I know Chris, when he's here next, he'll want to at least say his thank yous, because I know that they're just overwhelmed with what people can give, and just for coming out and doing that.
Yeah, fantastic show.
Yeah. So, and also, because it did so well, the bar talked to us about possibly doing one every month. And we may partake in that, but we want to do for a different benefit every time.
Can we do one to get, like, Todd Gurley some steroid shots or some, like...
That's my first idea. Yeah. I'm going to have him perform, and all he's going to do is just sit and watch his highlight reel, and we'll all laugh with him.
And all the money goes towards testosterone shots for his...
Yes.
What do they call it? When they, like, men in low T. He's got low T.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
He sucks. He had his best game. No, it was his second best game of the season this past week. He still ran for, like, 60 yards. He just got a touchdown. That's what made it so great. Got a touchdown. Oh, Todd Gurley. Oh, L.A. Rams. I'll tell you what. Cleveland is now, they won a game, so they're 1-14. They're better than the Rams. Like, the Rams won their games early on. Now they're dreadful. And now the Cleveland Browns, congratulations, which they won their game, but San Francisco beat the Rams. So now San Francisco has won two games. So Cleveland still is in for the number one pick of the draft right now. San Francisco, for no reason, like they should have lost. And they won in like 30 seconds left. They
scored. The Rams are in trouble because the Rams' last game of the season is against the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
And the Cardinals play real well when they have nothing to play for. When there's absolutely nothing on the line and they can't disappoint you, they're going to do real good.
You know, the Cardinals are going to have an interesting offseason because they stayed pretty pat with their team from last season. Mm-hmm. They added players that I think everyone thought was going to be this great addition to the team where, oh, we added Chandler Jones. Like, dude's a beast, right? And we drafted Robert Nkimdichie, who should have went number one overall but fell to the 28 or whenever they picked him. They had all these kind of pieces put together, and they sucked. So now, is it a mass overhaul?
No. I think this is just me as we've talked about this. I'm the worst stat guy alive. I am not hugely invested into every sport like I should be, but I am invested into Arizona sports. But still, my knowledge base is limited. But from my layman's eye, I think the issue that I've seen with the Cardinals over the past several seasons, it always comes down to the quarterback for them. They have the receivers. They have enough of a defense where other teams get it done. But when we had Warner, things were good. When Palmer was playing well, things were good. Beginning of the season, it was like, ugh, Palmer's having a tough start. And then, like, the middle of the season is like, he's having a rough stretch here in the middle of the season. And then he ended off the season with a rough stretch. So he never really got his footing like he had it last year where he could give the opportunities out. They've been there. If you're a fan, you're watching the game, you see the open receivers. You see the gaps in the line where a run play could work. And they're there. You can see those plays being drawn up but not being executed.
Do you think Carson Palmer's having such a down year because there's only room for one redhead to do well and Andy Dalton's had a good season?
I think that could be part of it. Also, I think that every time our kicker fucks up so bad, the whole team just has to go, well, fuck me. Why am I even trying? This guy's a piece of shit.
It's got to be so frustrating.
If he's going to lose the fucking game every week, then fuck even try. I'm not even going to go to work out this week. I'm just going to eat Krispy Kremes and watch Gilmore Girls like the rest of fucking people that don't have to deal with this bullshit.
Nice vent. I could tell you don't like Catanzaro.
No.
He has
been
a mess.
I don't like saying his name.
It is a shitty name. But he's been a mess. I mean, I watch most of the games for the Cardinals, and it's got to be frustrating for an offense. One, you're trying to score a touchdown every time regardless. So when you have to settle for a field goal, there's already a bit of disappointment. And then he goes and misses it, and it's like, oh, Jesus.
And it's like, dude, I could have fucking kicked that in, and I have a reassembled leg. Oh, dude. I remember the second game of the season, like, well, he's fired.
Yeah.
And he's still here.
They've gone through three punters that haven't had a problem.
Last week. It's like every fucking week now. It's crazy.
He will get cut.
And the interceptions from Palmer. That was another thing. I remember after, like, the third game, I was like, this has got to be the most interceptions he's had in a season. And then it's just like every game. They can't find the footing.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with him. It has a lot to do with just the Cardinals. Cardinals are always been that. They've always been that way. They have. They've been a bad team. And then when they've had some success, they screw it up somehow. Ugh. Something weird happens. It's like a Cleveland curse, but it's just the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, that's why when I say I'm not like hugely invested into sports is because the only investment I have is from Arizona sports. And Jesus, that's like I know that people will argue that, but as far as like worst sports cities, as far as like legacies go, I don't know how you get much worse. We have one championship that we bought from New York on 2001, like a month after September 11th. We're just like, oh, by the way, we're going to buy the best pitchers in baseball and take it away from you. Yeah. We might as well have been the Taliban that year.
Oh, New York got bombed so many times that year. It has been...
Once by Luis Gonzalez.
For a year. A year in review, 2016 was a crazy sports year. But for Arizona in particular, every team sucks. The four major sports, you look at the major sports. You know, out here, the Arizona Rattlers are good for arena football. But now they're not even in arena football anymore. They're in, like, the indoor football league, the IFL, something like that. Either way, you look at the major sports, the Diamondbacks, everyone was like, they're going to win the Western Division. We're so stacked. They have Zach Greinke. And they were the worst, one of the worst teams in baseball. The Suns are dreadful.
Let's not go there. Let's just
so hard to watch them. Oh, we're building for the future. What's going to happen is these young guys are going to take 4 years to get good, which is the length of that rookie contract, and then go sign somewhere else because they can make a lot more money. You know, without doing whatever. Devin Booker will stay unless the Lakers or Knicks come calling.
Well, again, and this might just be my layman's eye. I'm no Moneyball expert. I don't know exactly how to get the most financial bang for your buck to build a team. But I do know when the Suns have been good, yeah, we had good young pieces. But we had guys that were able to get you there. In the NBA, you need a superstar. Just like in the NFL, you need a quarterback. If you don't have a franchise quarterback that you can rest that pressure on, you're fucked. And in the NBA, if you don't have a few superstars that you can be like, well, hey, go shut down Kevin Durant and at the same time put up 30. If you don't have a guy that you can say that to, you're probably not in the hunt at all.
No, I agree. I look at the Suns now and try and compare them to the Timberwolves, which isn't a great comparison because look.
We wish we were the fucking Timberwolves.
But they still aren't good.
Right.
Right? Because they're so young.
But, like, look at the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, people were saying that about years ago. Like, oh, you know, they're just young guys, but they're scrappy, so they're putting it together. Now, the Grizzlies are, like, the only team that hasn't allowed a player to go for a triple-double, but they're in the playoffs consistently, and they're working it, and they're there. But without a super, superstar to get you over the hump, you're not actually in the hunt.
Phoenix believes that's Devin Booker, which...
Yeah, he's a great kid. Good job, kid.
He scores 20 to 30 points a game on a bad team where he's told to shoot it every time he gets it.
Exactly. Come on now.
Which is part of my reasoning for David Johnson for the Cardinals. Oh, he's this great player. He's incredible. Another 100 yards from scrimmage. I get that. That's awesome. No one's done it before for as long as he has, the first 15 games of the season. He's going to try and do the whole season, you know, on Sunday. But he gets the ball 30, 40 times a game. You know, he runs it 20, 25 times, and then he catches 7, 8 balls. 5 more are thrown to him. There's because they have nobody else to go to other than Fitzgerald, and they don't want to overdo it with him because they think he's so old at the age of 33.
Yeah.
So
honestly, though, I appreciate that to some degree because I feel like there's still another season left next year where he could put up his big numbers, and there's so many times this season where they just leave him wide open in the middle of the field. And he gets just destroyed. And it's like, you feel like you're watching Jerry Maguire. And you're going to have to be like, Rudy, Rudy. Just so he can get off the ground at some point because he gets drilled so hard.
Yeah. He's been taking an ass kicking for a while. But he plays receiver kind of like a lot like Marvin Harrison did. Where Marvin Harrison would run and then he'd see a guy get close to him. He just dropped to the ground.
Yeah.
And it probably added 2 years to his career. Because he never got hit. He just always went out of bounds if he was near it or just go straight to the ground. Because why fight it? You're going to get knocked down.
Yeah.
Just get to the ground. You don't fumble. And you just get touched. Live to play another day.
Yeah.
So Cardinals are real bad. Coyotes are terrible. Arizona sports is crazy bad right now. Historically bad. Because they're like all last place teams.
Yeah,
Cardinals aren't. But
now that the Cubs won in 2016, one of the big highlights. Now that they've won, aren't the Cardinals like the next?
The Arizona Cardinals are now the longest drought in sports.
Yeah.
They haven't won in 65 years, maybe
going
longer,
back to when they were the Chicago Cardinals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been to Chicago, St. Louis, and Arizona, never won a championship.
So Chicago's done with their curse, but we're still holding on to it.
Yeah.
We're keeping it original. All right.
Yep. The Cubs winning was a big deal. I was rooting for the Indians, but it was cool. Cubs won. I'm interested to see Now, looking into 2017 and what's ahead, just to see not how the team plays, they'll be fine, but how the fans react to it all after the first week of the season.
Oh, my fucking God. I had not thought about this. Sorry for getting a little overzealous there for a second. But Cubs fans have been annoying for generations, and they didn't have anything to hang their stupid Cubs hats on. Now, after they finally, after 100-something years, win one, these people are going to be worse than almost any. They're going to be
they
Rangers
may be,
fans.
I think they may be non-existent. I think the first week of the season, out here for spring training, it's going to be insane. And you live close to the stadium, kind of.
Well, yeah.
Not really, but.
Yeah, and I'll be at some of those spring training games.
They'll sell out every spring training game. But in the first week of the regular season, when they're at home, Wrigley Field is going to be insane. That first home game is going to be absolutely insane, just like the World Series was after they won. It'll be so many people be there. But then after that first week, I think people are like, all right, I mean, we won the World Series. Now what? We have to wait till the end of the year to do it again?
No, I feel like they're going to be obnoxious.
The whole time?
I understand what you're saying, but I feel like the main argument for that would be like, well, now you won one. The novelty's kind of gone, right? Like, yeah, where's the magic? But I don't think they're going to feel that
way. But they were so good that they're probably now just, we're going to make the playoffs, so who cares about all these games now?
I mean, and you
get
kinda,
the winner's mentality of
a
fan
that,
like that.
But you still need to show out to some degree just to get through the season. Like, I feel like that, even though Golden State didn't win last year, with the record stretch that they went on last year, I feel like this season, even though they added Kevin Durant, they're kind of like, eh, let's just see what happens. Let's kind of coast around a little bit, and then we'll turn it on when we need to. And, yeah, if you can do that, great. Most people can't, but if you can, cool.
Yeah, I think that was one of the most fun series ever. The Cleveland-Golden State series, to go to 7 games and to win it like that on the road.
Another huge highlight of the year, especially because after Golden State's run, everybody was just like, that's it. I'm going to suck Stephen Curry's dick until it's dry. Mm. And then I've never been a huge LeBron guy. If you're not a LeBron guy after that, I don't know what else he has to do to convince you.
Yeah, nothing.
He's
got
to come down and give you a back massage. Come on.
That solidified so much of his career now. That, yeah, he went to Miami. And I think when he even winning those 2 championships, it was always looked at like, excuse me.
He bought them.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the Diamondbacks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was like, well, you left to go join a team with your friends, and you had the best teams because of that. Like, come on.
Right.
Now, he went back to Cleveland. Granted, he went back to Cleveland, and they had Kyrie Irving, who was great and getting even better. And then they had Andrew Wiggins. Right? And then he signs back. They make the trade for Kevin Love. So he didn't go to a bad team at all. However, he went back to Cleveland and took care of business and brought him the first championship. And that scene was insane. I mean, he's a god in Cleveland now.
Yeah, and he forever will be. That's the most baller move you can have, because now you can literally walk around that city and, like, you know how they give people the key to the city? And it's like an ornament figure kind of whatever thing. I bet he could literally just like open any door in Cleveland. Yeah. And people would be like, oh, it's the king. It's stupid how much we relish sports figures like that, but we do. And fuck, I'm not even from Cleveland. If I saw LeBron, I'd let him in my house. Why wouldn't you?
I said after he won, I said he can put all his money and credit cards away as long as he's in Cleveland, because he'll never have to pay for anything.
Exactly.
Again. Which is messed up, because he's like one of the top 10 wealthiest people in Cleveland. He'd really help the economy out
by paying a lot. He should pay like triple.
Yeah.
But no, like people used to talk shit about Jordan, because in Chicago, he didn't pay for shit. And when people would give him a bill, he would look at him like, are you fucking stupid? Do you know who the fuck I am? Shut the fuck up. Don't give me a bill. This is Chicago. I built this city. And yeah.
Oddly enough, sports does that.
It does.
Because sports gives that working class guy, like, the release. He comes back at home at night after a long day and puts the game on.
Well, and it gives him a connection to his city, which in a lot of situations makes him go out in his city, buy tickets downtown, go to restaurants downtown, get parking downtown.
Oh, dude, when you have a great team in your city, the economy skyrockets.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
When the Suns are killing it, Phoenix, downtown Phoenix is electric.
Oh, dude, when I remember when Marley's and Stoudemire's was open and Nash was like part owner of that blue bar or whatever, and on any given night you could see any member of the team right there across the street from the stadium just partying out. People used to go fucking nuts.
Those teams were also very accessible because they always did that stuff.
Yeah.
They would play, they would crush somebody, and then just go out, and you would see them out, just hanging out. It wasn't like they were blocking people away. They were like, yeah, let's hang out. We won. Let's all celebrate a win.
One player that I've talked more shit about than almost anybody, maybe ever in my life, is Boris Diaw. And it's for a lot of reasons.
He hit on you?
No, I hit on him. And that wasn't the reason I talk shit about him. I talk shit about him because he's kind of a bitch. He's a French guy.
Yeah.
We used to call him Doris.
Yeah, Doris Xiao.
Yeah, well, I used to just call him Doris Diaw. And I remember, but I'm such a big Suns fan. I was down with some people partying at Marley's. We had one too many drinks, barroom hero style. And Boris walks around the corner with his super hot chick. And I'm like, oh my God, Boris Diaw. And I just took my shirt like I was like flashing. I don't know why. I was drunk. I didn't take my shirt off, but I just raised my shirt above my head. Boris! Like he was going to love some dude flashing him. Which we laughed about later. Like, I bet he did like that. Anyways, Doris.
He didn't do anything? He just kept walking?
No, he was just kind of like, have a good night, my friend. And he walked away with his hot girlfriend.
I haven't had too many.
But hold on. So that was my run-in with Boris Diaw. Then like a year later, I'm getting my hair cut at like a Sports Clips, and I'm talking about sports, and I'm talking about the Suns. And my hairstylist is like, I used to date Boris Diaw. And I was like, oh my God, I flashed Boris Diaw in front of Marley's one time. And she was like, oh, that was me.
No.
I was with him. And I was like, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, totally.
Small world.
It's super funny. Yeah.
That's great. Man, I don't have good run-ins with athletes. Like, it's so awkward. This is, okay, so I went to dinner with my parents. I was a kid, a little kid. I can't remember how old. I would say between the age of 5 and 8. I don't know. And we went to a restaurant. We walked in, and they had tables already, like, immediately when you walked inside. So there were people already sitting up towards the front where you walk to the front desk or whatever to check in or see if they whatever can see you. And my dad goes, hey, over at that table is Bart Starr. Get his autograph. And I go, who's Bart Starr? And he goes, he's like one of the greatest quarterbacks ever for the Packers. And I go, I mean, all right. I go, which table? And he goes, that table. He's sitting right there. I go, which one is he? And my dad said, but I didn't hear it. And I just walked over. I looked straight into the wall. And I go, excuse me, sir, can I please have your autograph? And just waited for a hand to reach out.
That's a smart move.
And some guy grabbed it. And I was like, oh, thanks. Yeah, it's so nice to meet you, Mr. Starr. He could have been the friend and been like, I'll do this for you. This kid has no idea.
Yeah. Other than the Diaw thing, I'm usually pretty cool with meeting athletes. Celebrities I get a little nervous around. But like most athletes I've been cool with, like Steve Kerr bought me a bottle of wine. That was real fucking cool. We were at Pizza Bianca. And I was like, hey, man. Big fan. Thought that Shaq move was real good. I know you got some flack for it, but I thought that was a nice move. Whatever. And he ended up buying our table a bottle of wine.
That's cool.
But my dad, it was a couple years. Well, had to be 3 years ago now. I was thinking of this highlights and lowlights 2016. One of the lowlights is definitely Muhammad Ali passing.
Yeah.
And my dad got to meet Muhammad Ali. And it was only a few years ago or whatever. But when I asked him, I was like, hey, how was it? It was cool. And he's like, it was cool, but I was so nervous. I was shaking worse than he was.
Oh, shit.
I'll never forget that line. I thought it was so funny.
Dude.
Anyways.
This is a good line. Yeah, a lot of sports deaths, a lot of shit this year, man.
Yeah. Arnold Palmer, that was a rough one.
Yep, that was a rough one. Craig Sager more recently, that was pretty rough.
But, yeah, we've been talking mostly about highlights. We haven't even mentioned the Olympics.
Because the Olympics were, this time, I felt like they were just all right.
Yeah, they're kind of there.
Yeah. I'm usually way into it, but I so wasn't.
Well, like, how many did Phelps did win? How many did he win?
I mean, that was cool. I think 23 gold medals in his whole career. Which is crazy. Insane.
Simone Biles was like a big story.
She was great.
But all I kind of remember is Ryan Lochte and like
and lying about being held at gunpoint.
Yeah, and like throwing shit around the bathroom.
God, he's an idiot.
But fucking Peyton winning the Super Bowl, that was big.
That was huge.
Yeah.
Peyton winning the Super Bowl in Denver, kind of an F you to Indianapolis without saying it. And I'm sure he didn't even feel that way, but still. Indianapolis had to. Nobody blames them for going with Andrew Luck. I mean, you got another 15 years of a good quarterback. You got to go for it rather than taking another five. But Peyton goes off and wins the Super Bowl. Denver had a great team all around him. It wasn't just him, obviously. But, yeah, good for him. And then to retire and do more Papa John spots. Like, dude, this guy is crushing life. Peyton Manning's a cool guy, I think, though.
The other one that I thought was real dope was the Villanova buzzer beater.
Oh, my God.
That was such a cool moment this year.
They play that occasionally just on, like, a pregame when they're coming up, like, a game's coming on.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play, like, a bunch of highlights, and that's one of the shots. And it doesn't get a lot of play other than that. No one talks about it.
It doesn't get old, though. It's so fucking good.
When I watched the game with my son, him and I both, rewound it and watched it probably 50 more times before we turned the TV off. It was, that's what you want.
Yeah.
You want a team to hit a three and then the other team comes down and hits a buzzer beater three, like in a matter of seconds. It was so unbelievable. You want a championship to be won like that. NBA championship was so close to being that. You know what I mean? Like when a buzzer beater hits to win the championship, let alone a game, but a championship. So awesome.
Another basketball highlight of the year for me. Kobe Bryant played his last game.
Yeah, thank God.
Fuck
see you, buddy.
Oh,
see you, buddy. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and the Lakers game was going to be on national TV at night, and I was like, you know what? They're not bad to watch now. I don't violently hate somebody that's on the team anymore.
Almost play like a team. Do you know a dude in April sold a bag of Kobe's last game air.
Oh, give me
the last game.
For how much? Wait, let me guess. $1,500.
Did you look it up already?
No.
No?
I swear I didn't know.
That's like Price is Right shit. You got it direct on
really?
Money.
I win both prizes.
Over.
Cool.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
Cool. That's how much I would have paid.
Well, it actually went, I shouldn't say, it went for $15,500.
$15,000? Oh, I said $1,500.
Let me check my math. Yeah, 15,500.
Okay, wow. Yeah, then never mind. Like, well, Joe, big surprise for you here. I have the bag with me. Let's let it out over the air. Can everyone hear it?
Oh, it smells like rape.
He just had another daughter with his wife.
And
their,
three
it's
other...
It's their third, his eighth.
And three other women in, like, Saratoga or whatever.
What if somebody, God, Sports Pickle should say something like that. Kobe Bryant and his wife welcome in their third baby, his sixth.
Exactly.
Yeah, 2016, busy sports year, but such a good one. I think it'll be remembered. Do you do, this is stupid, but sometimes I'll do like a death pool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever take part in those?
Yeah.
We gotta do one for the show. We'll just ask Chris.
After this year, I don't want to see anybody else.
I know. No, neither do I. But I, every year, have picked Evander Holyfield. And he's been fine. Like, he hasn't even come close.
What the hell is that about?
I don't know. I thought he got hit in the head a lot more. And he was too big.
Yeah.
So I got to go with somebody else.
Who would have thought George Michael would have taken more shots to the face than Evander Holyfield? Oh, I'm drunk. I'm sorry. That was inappropriate.
The Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds thing was weird.
Yeah.
She goes and then the mom goes and
I thought that was very funny. I saw somebody post on Twitter, Jesus, Mom, I couldn't get one day without you or something. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. So, man, if I were doing Deathpool 2017, I'm going to go Greg Oden.
Just because he looks like he's 90.
And now he doesn't have all the health benefits that came with playing basketball.
You know what? I'm gonna go. Did George Carl die?
No.
I'm gonna go George
His
Carl.
Book just came out.
I'm gonna go George Carl.
Talking all kinds of shit about Carmelo Anthony.
Phil Jackson.
Kenny Martin. Ooh.
I feel like Phil Jackson's one of those guys that you're like, what?
He just broke his engagement off.
He looks so healthy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, so did, you know.
Yeah, right.
Bowie.
So did a lot of the people.
So I'm going to go, yeah, Phil Jackson, fucking George Karl, and just as a wish list thing, Greg Popovich. And that shows you how centered my basketball. I hate the Lakers. I hate the Spurs. It shows you where my sports loyalty is.
Did you hear Marv Levy said he would coach the Bills again?
No.
He's 91 years old. They fire Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan, and Marv Levy's like, I'll throw my hat in the ring one more time.
Stan Lee turned like 98 yesterday.
He did?
And he's like, Excelsior, I'm going to be in another Marvel movie. Like that what? Guy, yeah.
Is he that old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hugh Hefner, when all these celebrities were passing and stuff, I was trying to come up with a bit about like how scary it is. And I went to, I was like, did Hugh Hefner die? So I looked on Google, did Hugh Hefner die? And it was as of, and it was that exact date, Hugh Hefner's press people have come out and said that, yes, Hugh Hefner is fine and he is alive. And then like 3 days later, I checked again and it was like, yes, as of, and it was that date. Like Hugh Hefner's people come out every day and they're like,
they have to announce that he's alive.
Yes, he's alive. Yes, he's healthy.
Oh my God, that's awful. People started saying Tony Hawk died and everyone was believing it. So yeah. He went out and he's like, no, I'm skateboarding around. Here's a video.
Yeah, here's me doing a 900. Fucking ridiculous. Who's the other guy? I'm blanking now because I'm drunk, but he's one of my favorite skaters, Bert. He turned
Bob
like,
Burnquist?
Bob Burnquist. Did you see that video he posted? Uh-uh. It was like on his 40th birthday or something, and it was him just fucking killing it in like a room, black and white, shot just him doing tricks, and he was doing everything he had.
That's
like,
awesome.
It's insane.
I'll have to see that, dude. I like skateboarding.
Me too.
I like watching it. I'm real bad at it.
I used to be not great, but decent. Like I could do stuff. I could do a kickflip. I could do a heel flip. Like what? And I used to try to do them off like roofs and stuff. But other than like that, it wasn't anything more. But the physics of it, the idea that you can get a board to do that, it's still so enthralling to me, the way that they manipulate boards.
Yeah, it's crazy. When they go super slow-mo and you see the board flipping and then their toe kicking another direction, well, it's so cool.
And I remember just trying to learn to ollie. You have to learn to drag your foot along the board to bring the board up with you. And it's such a weird thing to learn because you're not kicking the board up. You're not pulling the board up. You're literally just kind of like floating it up using like the side of your foot. So it takes such specific effort, but such subtle effort. It was very hard to figure out at first.
Yeah. I was never able to do it, but I get it. I know how to do it in my head.
Yeah.
I could never get my body to commit to doing it.
Manipulating your ankle to just go flick and like rub up against it.
I'm an
slowly.
X Games guy though. I like the X Games a lot. Like when they're on, my son and I will sit. We'll record it.
Yeah.
Be like, all right, what's up tonight, dude?
My only problem with the X Games is that they continually get so much bigger that at a certain point I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. Like nobody should be on a 50-foot half pipe just so they could pull like a trick where they're 90 feet in the air. Like this is pushing it a little too far. I like when it's still on a normal half pipe.
I don't know. It's still pretty cool, dude.
It is, but I don't think you need to have a downhill ski luge on a skateboard. I think it's still pretty sick when you can just do like a bunch of low-level grind tricks and flip back and forth. And
the super pipe is now like the most popular event.
It's disgusting because I watch it and I'm like, well, there's no way I or anyone I even know would ever do this.
Well, I remember when Matt Brown went up, like he went up the ramp, was in the air, but he went too far off and he landed and missed on the flat ground.
Yeah.
And his shoes flew off.
Yeah.
And then he walked away like he had fallen 50 some feet, maybe more. He had jumped off the ramp, went too far, towards the middle.
It's unnecessary.
And just fell on the flat ground of that ramp.
I remember when just a bar spin was a real cool trick. You know?
Now it's like, bag it.
Yeah. You were doing a triple backflip while you did those bar spins and you didn't also do a Superman? You're an idiot.
We used to think Joe was cool until all he could do was a wheelie.
It's a bunny hop.
Ooh, look at you, Ollie. That's going to be your new little stupid nickname, Ollie.
Joe can't even J-hop up with the big curb.
I don't even know what that means, dude.
Old school.
I actually just got a message from Chris, who said, and I'm so jealous of his pick for the Death Pool, because I think he's going to win it next year. He picked Johnny Manziel.
Oh, fuck.
That is the front runner. I think the odds are on him. What should we do for, like, if you win, you get something? It's so shitty that people do this to begin with, I gotta say. It's very uncomfortable. Like, oh, who's gonna die? Awful. All right. But we're also not the inventor of this.
Right. And it was a great Marvel movie this year. Fox was. Marvel Deadpool movie, but still, great. Yeah. Great movie.
So we should come up with, it's either someone wins. And I've also, I haven't had anybody win before. Like, no one I know has ever gotten one right. Because you can't pick somebody that's, like, already sick or
super old.
Well,
I feel
like old.
If Phil Jackson dies, nobody wins. But if Johnny Manziel dies, we all win.
Jesus. And I'm not calling you Jesus. I'm not a guy. Plus, I'm Jewish. I don't think you listen to me.
Still miffed?
Yeah. So we should have, like, either the winner gets something or the other two people lose, like a bet type of thing.
Well, we gotta bring it down to one then. So he said Manziel. What's your one?
Greg Oden.
I'm gonna go.
I just think his bones are old too. He doesn't look like he's in his 20s.
He doesn't, and I could see him in like a wheelchair.
Because you have
by the end of the year. But I don't think I see him. Dead. So I'm gonna go with George Carl.
All right, George Carlin, who's already dead. George Carl.
I was like, am I saying his name
George
wrong?
Carl's a good one. He just had a book that's coming out. So it'd be like, oh, and he just had this book where he talks shit about all the players that he coached.
Well, and he's older. He's had his battles with cancer.
He's had cancer, yeah. All right, that's, I mean, strong pick. Greg Oden has been in the hospital more times, though. So I think that's okay. And Manziel is an Amy Winehouse waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I hope he's doing well in his classes at Texas A&M.
I remember a few years back we did a Deadpool, and I picked Frankie Muniz because he was going through like a really tough time.
Fan of the show.
And I felt real bad about it. But at the same time, I was like, I got this. I got this. There's money on the line.
So we'll try and come up with something next week. We'll say what the punishment or the reward is, whichever we decide. And then, yeah, looking forward to 2017. Sports-wise, we've got a lot of exciting stuff going on. I always look forward to the Kentucky Derby. I'm, like, oddly into it immensely. The Triple Crown and the horse racing, and my son gets way into it, too. So we have a good time. And I'm excited for that. Always am.
Who do you Derby see going all the way in the NFL? Who's your Super Bowl pick at the moment?
The Patriots. Ugh. They're the healthiest besides Gronk.
Yeah.
They're playing better. I mean, now that Oakland lost Derek Carr, did you see he was mic'd up that game?
When he
broke his leg?
No.
He was mic'd up. He's a badass, is what he is. He went down, and he was like, he just immediately goes, ah, it's broke. It's broken. It's broken. Hey. Just like waves over to the staff. He's like, broken. And they come over, and he like is limping off, you know, with his arm around a person on each side, mm-hmm. so he doesn't put any pressure on the broken leg. And as they card off, he goes by a camera and you just hear him go, ah, yeah, I mean, it's broken. But he's like not that big of a deal about it. It doesn't hurt. I'm like, you broke your leg.
Yeah.
You needed surgery to put it back in place. Like, yeesh. So now that Oakland lost him.
Oh, my leg broke.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There isn't much in the AFC that can take New England down. Maybe Kansas City. I guess they're playing really well. But I don't know, man. They just, New England's played so good. I think in the NFC, I don't think Dallas is for real. Is that weird to say?
No, they're never for real.
They're 13-2. It's just, I can't. Ezekiel Elliott is great. He's leading the league in rushing. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. He may win the MVP. I don't know. But the line, it's the best line in football. So anybody is going to run well, right? Not Todd Gurley, but other running backs would run really well with them. Dak Prescott just doesn't make mistakes. However, if he does make mistakes, this is a weird stat. When he gets to right around 170 pass attempts, he throws two interceptions. And then he won't throw another one for 170 or so pass attempts. Statistically, that's been his season so far. Like, it took him forever to throw one, then he threw one, and then he had like another one very quickly. Same game, he's thrown two, and then that's it. So I think if he has one of those in the playoffs, which is likely with the pressure, then I could see Dallas losing. Their defense is pretty good too, but I don't know, man. I just don't buy into.
They're fool's gold.
They're always.
They're cubic zirconians. They're not real. You're going to put it in your mouth like it's steak and it's going to dissolve to ash.
But then what? I don't think Seattle's that great.
No.
So you're looking at who? The Giants and Redskins and the Packers?
Yeah.
I mean, the Packers could do it, but they give up so many points. I don't know. The Giants have beaten them twice. So, yeah, I mean, the Giants could beat the Cowboys a third time. Who knows?
As gross as it is to say, I got to go with you. I feel like New England's got that guy you can hang your hat on. You got to have that guy. If you don't, you're not really in it, you know?
And New England's a team that can overcome mistakes. Brady can throw an interception and LeGarrette Blount can fumble the ball and they lose both to turnovers and they can still overcome it to win the game. Dallas, I don't think, can do that. When they turn the ball over, they can't win.
All right, so football. What other? We'll just skip baseball. Who cares?
Dodgers.
Maybe the Cubs.
Dodgers win.
Not the Dodgers. What about Conor McGregor? He's fighting outside of his weight class. What do you think?
He always fights out of his weight class. McGregor will do whatever it takes to make as much money as he can.
There you go, matey. Yeah. NBA. You think Golden State does it with Kevin Durant?
I think Golden State plays Cleveland again. And unless some major trade happens, the trade deadline, which I don't think will, at least big enough to where it affects a good team.
Right.
Where the Clippers, who are on the cusp,
no,
somehow trade a player that doesn't play and they get Russell Westbrook. Like, you know, it's something stupid. Where they're like, yeah, we'll trade J.J. Redick for Russell Westbrook straight up. And Oklahoma City's like, yeah, that's what we've always wanted. That's our dream.
Is to get rid of
Westbrook. And we'll pay Westbrook's contract that we just signed him to. But I don't see anything like that happening, although you never know. So I would say, and it's also a cop-out, yeah, I'll pick the two best teams in the NBA. However, I think Cleveland is far superior to every team in the East, and they've now been there so many times mm-hmm. in the playoffs that they will walk their way through to the NBA Finals. They just know how to do it. And LeBron, at this point, knows he's got this great team. And when he gets to the playoffs, he's going to say, imagine the legacy. Let him not talk about Jordan anymore, and it will just be me if I can just keep winning championships Ooh. And do it against the Warriors, who are stockpiled with players.
Yep.
The Warriors have flaws. They don't rebound well, and they don't play very good defense. And in the playoffs, that's a big deal. Now,
and
I
they're
think,
not as deep. They're still
yeah,
deep.
Right.
But they got some depth issues.
Mm-hmm. They lost Maurice Spates and they lost Leandro Barbosa, mm-hmm. which are big deals.
Well, yeah, because Leandro really helped with their speed. Spates really helped with their height. Now they're like Durant's playing the five for them.
Yeah. And they've got David West coming off the bench in the Maurice Spates spot.
David West, like Chris always jokes around about how he could play a yeah. snap in the NFL. I feel like he could play as well as David West. I know I could ball David West. I'd have David West out of his shoes across that guy ever so hard.
Yeah, actually, you wouldn't. But but he's 2 years past when he should have retired.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that player coming off
and he's not
second
Tim Duncan.
From your bench.
Like David West was great in his hay, but 2 years after he should have retired, yeah. you might as well pull like Alvin Gentry off the bench. Like, it's not that big of a difference.
Yeah, He-Man, what a great show. He is...
She-Ra.
Their bench is very thin. But then you say, okay, well, foul trouble. It's like, nah. If Steph gets in foul trouble, fine. Clay and Durant just shoot more.
Yeah, I don't think that... That's I don't think anybody's pulling it away from this year. I feel like last year... Good on you, Cleveland. You did the impossible. You made the dream happen. I feel like this is the year they have to. If they don't prove themselves this year, they can't keep that team together forever. Like, that team will start to.
Golden State?
Yeah. People would talk about that team like it's going to be around for years and years and years. But
Durant's
yeah.
only on a two-year deal, and I think Steph's deal is up after this season.
Right, and a lot of those guys, they're going to want to be able to shine on their own and try to get that payday. And if they don't get that ring, they're going to be looking for it where they can.
Do you think Steph leaves first to go to Charlotte?
No. I don't think Steph leaves. I don't think Steph and leaves I don't either. Think Steph goes to Charlotte. I don't think anybody.
Where he's from.
Doesn't matter. Kevin Durant's from fucking
D.C.
D.C. He's not going to play for the Wizards.
Yeah. I almost called them the Bullets. Yeah. Huh. But I would like to see Cleveland play Golden State.
I almost called
him
the Ravens because he's actually from Baltimore.
Yeah. I would like to see Cleveland play Golden State again. I would like to see Cleveland win, whether they do or not. I think just having those teams back in the finals, and if it could be another great final series, then we have a legitimate Lakers-Celtics rivalry.
I got a better pitch for you. They meet in the finals again this year. Game 7, close game just like this year. Real neck and neck, but Golden State edges it out. Then, in 2018, we have the grudge match. Same teams, finals, 3 years in a row, 2-2.
4 years in a row. They've met the last two.
They were in last year's finals together too? And that one went Golden State, and this one went Cleveland. So, yeah, never mind. This is the year for the grudge match. Yeah. Let's find out. Let's go.
But it would be such a cool rivalry if they did it five times. Oh, if they went five
that.
In a row. Now, it'll drain the NBA
what, do you
and
want
be like, this
Saw
is.
Another Saw movie, too? Get out of here.
No, but it's I'm ridiculous. Saying it would be, for the NBA, not a great thing because it's like, well, why are we watching any of this? It's just going to be those two teams in the finals.
But like
but
you were
when
saying,
it gets
that's
there.
When it that's what it was in its heyday. It was always those powerhouse teams. Back in the day, the 76ers didn't have a chance. Just like now, you know?
God, how cool would it be to look at it? Like, let's just say Golden State wins this year, then they play each other again next year. Cleveland wins. It's 2-2 in an ultimate best of five
best
series.
Of five.
Or
that's
best
like
of
you
seven.
And your little brother, like, no, fuck it, best of five.
Yeah, after, right? Yeah.
I'm not okay with what happened after three.
Yeah, you won the best of seven game or games. Let's do best of seven of the best of seven. Exactly what it would be.
The only problem is once you get that deep, that best of five, you're missing a lot of guys from the best of three.
Yeah.
You know, the teams are really.
Yeah. Well, shit, by the time that happens, LeBron's 34. Yeah.
Steph's 22. How old would he be? I don't know. He looks like he's 9.
LeBron is going to fade a lot faster
like
from
his
greatness. What? From his hair? Yeah.
Like his hairline?
Yeah. From his greatness because he's a more physical player. He's not a finesse jump shooter.
Yes and no. Yes, I get what you're saying, and I agree with you. No, because he's a freak of nature. Because
That's
he's
true.
Fucking huge. Because he can be more physical without really... Like, he's out there being more physical than most guys just by moving around.
Yeah.
Because he is so much more imposing. Yeah. Steph could reach a moment where his shot is slowed by half a second or his dribble is slowed by half a second, and that could be a determining factor, whereas LeBron is still going to be
I don't agree.
8
I think
foot, 900
Steph's
pounds.
Shot will never go away.
It
He'll
won't,
always be able to
but
shoot.
The speed will. Like you see that with all great shooters. Like they still have the shot. They just have to set it up. And
yeah, Ray Allen, who was in incredible shape, could still play now.
But not at that level.
Right,
not
right,
at Steph's. Steph is a great 3-point shooter, but he's also a great point guard. He also runs the ball. He's got that floater inside. He can move it around. Like I think he'll last longer because of that skill set than what's his name? I'm blanking because I'm drunk again. Other guy is Klay Thompson.
Yeah,
Klay Thompson is more of a Ray Allen, where he'll be able to sit there and just pick shots forever. Whereas at a certain point, I think Steph's going to be like, oh, shit, I can't move around inside the key like I used to.
Yeah.
Although Nash did Nash until could. He was 50. Yeah. So.
Who knows? You just, I guess, they're still not old. Like, even when they get to that age, it's like you're still 37 years old.
As the stat guy, I just have to fact check myself. Steve Nash was not 50. Yeah, he retired. I think it's funny that I'm the stat guy, and I'm just like, he's 9 feet, 200 pounds. Like, whatever.
Yeah, but I think as long as, obviously, they work out, and I know both of their workouts off-season are insane. Like, dude, if you want to lose weight, like, you don't have to be great at basketball, but just do the drills. You will die by the end of it.
I remember watching something way back when, like, I think it was Durant's first season in, but he was doing these exercises where he would take his hands and put them, like, as fast as he could into this huge pot of hot rice. But it was, like, hot, hard rice. And it was to build up, like, the dexterity in his forearms and his fingers. And it was just him, like, you would with grapes in a thing to make wine, but with rice, just into hot rice for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, their workouts are crazy.
It's weird.
But it works. Works better than any personal trainer regular gym is going to give you.
Yep.
They're getting top of the line everything. We should just do what they do.
I have the Steve Nash drill DVD if you want to check it out.
All right, let's. We'll play
it's like
hoop.
A skills thing or whatever. It's really fucking cool.
I believe you.
And it helped my jump shot. Thank you, Steve Nash Workout DVD. Little
this plug. Episode brought to you by yeah, Steve Nash's DVD. Let's get out of here. Guys, thank you for listening. Thanks again to everybody that came to the show on this past Wednesday, the Benefit for Nova. We raised a lot of money into the four figures, which is a lot more than we thought. So thank you to everybody that came out. Thank you to Yucca Tap Room. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. Spread the word. Tell everybody you know and all your friends. The more successful the show is, the more stuff we will do. And we've got some really, really cool, fun things planned for 2017. Until next week, everybody, enjoy your sports. Lose yourself the dance. Lose yourself.